680 and getting ready for a lesson together. And remind you that the outlines are on the pedestal in the foyer in the back. If you did not get one and you'd like one, by all means go and get one of those as we study along together this morning in our lesson. This morning our lesson is entitled Nothing But Leaves. Nothing But Leaves. We are impressed with this time of year. Leaves begin to sprout. Things begin to come to life again after a long winter such as we've had. And we are enjoying the leaves about us as they begin to green up and things begin to take on the shades of summer more than the shades of winter. It's interesting to note the common objects that we find in the Bible. Jesus used them often. We find lessons in geography. We find lessons in occupations. We find lessons in the daily routines of individuals. Other things that we find often in Scripture that were used and are used for lessons for us. One such figure, of course, is the fig tree. Fig tree is mentioned in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 3 and verse 7. The eyes of them both, Adam and Eve, were opened, and they saw that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Figs are mentioned very early in Scripture. The fig tree is also mentioned in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 6 and verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. In all, we find over 60 references in Scripture to the figs. Figs were used for a number of ways. As we mentioned in our Bible class, the olive oil used sometimes for medicinal purposes. So were figs, packed in boils and so forth. And so there were various uses for the figs in that culture and in that time. In Mark 11, verses 12 and 14, we have an incident in the life of Christ that is mentioned to us involving a fig tree. You recall it from the Bible. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus and his disciples, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Hence then the title of our lesson, Nothing But Leaves. On this occasion where Jesus found this fig tree, which is supposed to have had fruit, but which did not. Notice first in regard to that what Jesus sought and what he seeks. What Jesus sought and what he seeks. In verse 12, the first part of verse 13, on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. Jesus was hungry on this occasion. This shows us his humanity. Hard for us to fathom, but he was 100% deity, 100% humanity. He was dwelling in both worlds, if you will. He was all human. And thus characteristics of humanity, hunger being one of those. He was complete deity as well. And so he came to this fig tree and looked for figs on it because of his hunger. This type of fig tree produced its leaves, and then the fruit came afterwards. We're accustomed to the leaves budding and most of the vegetation we have, and then the fruit follows soon on shortly thereafter. But with this type of fig, the leaves came first, and so when one saw this type of fig tree with leaves on it, he could naturally expect that there would be fruit underneath those leaves. And so Jesus had a right and a reason to expect that there would be fruit on this tree because of the leaves that it had. Now pictured here initially and primarily for us is the Jewish nation, which had leaves plenty, so to speak, but were barren of fruit. And Jesus revealed this parable to them. He had the right to expect fruit from them, and yet he failed to find that fruit. God had chosen them, of course, to be his people, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord, Moses said, thy God, the Lord thy God, hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of all the earth. Here again, as we mentioned with some of those objects earlier, lesson for us. We are today the chosen people of God, Galatians 6, 16 and 17. We, that is the church, Christians, are the Israel of God. And so we are a peculiar people, to use the words of Peter in 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. We are set about for a particular purpose, just as the children of Israel were. One of the tasks that they had before them was to be a light unto the Gentiles, a task which they failed to accomplish. that would have involved bearing fruit. And again, as we see in this parable in other places, they had failed to bear that fruit. He had protected them and demanded their obedience as a nation of Israel. When we find in 1 Kings 6, when Solomon prayed to God, as God asked him what he would have to judge, the wisdom to judge this thy so great a people, Solomon revealed that they were going to have to be obedient to his will in order, or God revealed to Solomon, they were going to have to be obedient to his will in order to fulfill that which God had planned for them. And so it is with us. Yet when Jesus came to this fig tree, he found no fruit. Just as when he looked at the nation of Israel in his day and time, bearing leaves, if you will, but failing to bear fruit. But also pictured here, as we mentioned, is Christ, church, and those who compose it, Christians. In Luke 8 and verse 15, the Bible says, "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." We noticed in our evangelism class about this passage that the statement that is made when an honest man in error discovers truth, he either ceases being in error or he ceases being honest. And so the good and honest heart will seek what the Lord's will is for that individual. The good and honest heart will not only put on leaves, but also will have fruit. The Lord seeks fruit. Just as he sought fruit on this fig tree, just as he sought fruit from Israel, he seeks fruit from us. And so what Jesus sought, figs initially on this tree, but spreading it a little further, he sought fruit from Israel. But what does he seek? He seeks fruit from us as well. He has every right to expect fruit from us, just as he had every right to expect fruit from the tree and expect fruit from Israel. What Jesus sought and seeks. But second, what Jesus found and finds. What Jesus found and finds. In Mark 11 and verse 13, seeing that fig tree afar off, of course, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. As we saw, he sought fruit, found only leaves. In putting on the leaves before the fruit, the tree then was in essence boastful. First, found in Acts chapter 5 and verse 36, that nature of that kind of individual. No one likes a braggart. In verse 36 of Acts 5, "For before these days rose up Theudas." This is Gamaliel speaking, a doctor of the law, at whose feet Paul had sat, Saul of Tarsus, and been instructed in the law of Moses. But he said, "Before those days rose up Theudas," an individual we don't know except for what's mentioned of him here. Notice boasting himself to be somewhat. "To whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught." Now, the mayor used that on this occasion when the council had arrested the apostles, put them into prison. And they wondered then what to do with them, because in chapter 4, Peter and John had been arrested, had been threatened not to preach Jesus, and they went out and did that nonetheless. And so now all the apostles were under arrest. All of them were under the microscope of the council. And they were saying, "We should do this to them, or we should do that to them." And Gamaliel said, "Well, let's consider that." And so he mentioned this individual, Theudas, who boasted himself to be somewhat. That's like this fig tree. It was boasting itself to contain fruit because of the leaves that were on it, and yet it failed to produce the fruit that it should have had. James 4, verse 13 beginning, James said, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, or go into such a city, contend there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." The idea of boasting, again, we find that's illustrated, revealed for us in this fig tree. And when we see boastings in Scripture along these lines, we know that God is not pleased with that, as he was not with the fig tree on this occasion. Those who claim to follow Christ and yet do not are boastful. Those who bear no fruit, those who have nothing but leaves, fall in the same category as this fig tree and as the nation of Israel which it represented. consider the Laodiceans in Revelation 3 and verse 17. The Lord said to them, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Here, as we studied the seven churches of Asia not too long ago, we examined the church at Laodicea. There in the background, there was this banking industry. It was known for its financial district, the Wall Street, if you will, of Asia Minor. But it was also known for its black wool that was world-renowned because of its beauty and of its softness. And so they were pretty proud of that as well. But they were also known for their medical school. And one of the things that they were known for was Phrygian powder, which was used for eye maladies. And so you think about that which they boasted themselves of, their riches. They had a banking industry. Their black wool, they were known for their clothing and for the richness and beauty of it, and also for the medical facility and the eye salve in particular. But notice what Jesus said about them. You are wretched, miserable, notice, poor, blind, naked. He appealed to those things for which they boasted most, and then told them they were in essence the opposite of what they thought they were. Compare that to this fig tree. The fig tree boasted itself of having fruit because it had put on many leaves, and yet there was no fruit there. Compare that with Israel. Put on many leaves, so to speak. They had grown to the great number that God had told them they would be. They had captured that land. They were there settled in it. They boasted, we'd be Abraham's seed, but never in bondage to any man. They had a lot of things about which they boasted. But when he looked underneath, there was no fruit. Can we be compared to that, the fig tree, and to those individuals, the children of Israel? In that we put on leaves, we say we're Christians, we say we follow the Lord, and yet when he looks underneath, he finds no fruit at all in us. And so such individuals are boastful. But the fig tree as well, when it had put on leaves and had no fruit, was also hypocritical. Think about Israel as well. They were hypocritical. Having put on leaves, having appeared to those about them to be so righteous, and yet underneath there was no fruit. We find in Matthew 23, beginning in verse 23, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of men and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." They were tithing in their meticulous nature these spices and these herbs that they grew and that they had, and yet they were failing to do what God had said with those greater matters of the law. He said, now I'm not saying you shouldn't do those intricate matters, those smaller matters as we consider them, but you should not do that to the exclusion of that which is greater, hypocritical when you do. And notice what he says to them, "You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Think of that and the vision in your mind. They were straining out a gnat from their drink, but then they would swallow a camel. Not possible to do physically, of course, but the illustration to them in that expressive language revealed just how vividly hypocritical they were. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Suppose today, after we finish our worship, that we go out to eat, and you go into a restaurant, and they set a plate before you, and that plate is just as filthy as it can be. But you turn it over, and it's beautiful. What will we think about that? Clean on the outside, filthy on the inside. That's what Jesus said about them. When we envision this fig tree with leaves all about it, beautiful on the outside, and should have had fruit within, but within there was nothing that should have been. Israel was the same way, and sometimes perhaps we as God's people are the same way as well. "Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Now recall that under the law of Moses, that a person that touched a dead body or encountered a dead body was unclean until the evening. And though they had decorated those sepulchres, we do the same thing, right? We decorate death. We put tombs and we put grave markers. We put flowers on them. Jenny and I were noticing that yesterday in our trip. And we put these big shrines for those individuals. But the same thing is in all of them. They're dead men's bones. There's the decaying corpses of the individuals that house those tombs. Jesus said, "You're a lot like that," to the scribes and the Pharisees. "You're like those beautiful decorated tombs But inside is just decaying flesh and bones. So it was with the fig tree. So it was with Israel. Perhaps so with us on occasion as well. Even so ye also, he said, outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. When this fig tree put on leaves and yet no fruit, it was boastful. The Lord condemns that kind of attitude. They were hypocritical. Again, the Lord condemns that kind of attitude. The Jewish nation itself claimed to be more than it was. Recall the words of Jesus in John 8 and verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. In this communication, this conversation of Jesus with the Pharisees, he said, if you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And they said, we don't need your truth. We're Abraham's seed. They felt that just because they were of the lineage and the line of Abraham, then that was fine. That's all they needed. They could look back in their ancestry, the records that were still prevalent at that time, but would be destroyed in AD 70. And they could see that their great, 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 great grandfather was Abraham. And they had descended from him. That's all they needed to know. They had Abraham's blood flowing within them. And yet that was not the case. Those were the leaves. Here are leaves, our lineage, our descendancy from Abraham. And yet there was no fruit among them. Jesus, of course, called them out and referred to them as hypocrisy. In fact, though they said, we have Abraham to our father, in verse 44, Jesus said, you of your father the devil, the best your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus told them plainly, you have leaves, so to speak. You can say Abraham is our father, but when you look underneath the leaves, there we find no fruit, but rather we find that you really are the children of the devil. And so those who claim to be Christians and yet are hypocritical, just like the fig tree, just like the Jewish nation, nothing but leaves. As children of God, some claim to be Christians and yet do not know the very simplest Bible matters. Perhaps we're nothing but leaves. Some will not assemble to commemorate their Lord's death and worship Him as we should. Perhaps nothing but leaves. Some will not gather for occasions to study the Bible together. Perhaps nothing but leaves. Some claim to want the truth preached and yet will not practice the truth. Perhaps we're nothing but leaves. The ultimate fruit, of course, for which Jesus looks. Notice we're seeing what He found and what He finds. That ultimate fruit, of course, is leading others to Christ. Mark 4 and verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, he said, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some in 100. We know the law of sowing and reaping, that we reap more than we sow. If we planted just one kernel of corn, we would expect more than just one kernel in return. And so it is that God expects that. He has sown the seed of His word into our hearts by some means, some individual perhaps. But the gospel has been sown into our hearts and He expects it to bring forth fruit. With some, like the one-talent man, there'll be 30. With some, like the two-talent man, there'll be 60. With some, like the five-talent man, 100-fold. But fruit nonetheless. There was no-talent man, if you will. There was no zero-fold individual that had brought forth fruit. But when we see this fig tree, we see that in essence. Someone has noticed or made this chart, how non-Christians gain interest in the church. Through the Bible school program, about 7.5%. Through visitation programs, campaigns, and such, about 1%. Through gospel meeting efforts, maybe 0.5%. Various programs of the church, TV, radio, other things, about 3%. Vacation Bible school, about 1%. Convenience to them, they live close or whatever, about 3%. Through the preacher, about 7%. But it's through friends and relatives. About 79% of all who come to the church come to the church. Think about your own life. What is it that precipitated your coming to the church? Who brought you to the Lord? We talked about in our evangelism class not long ago. Where was the seed planted that became you? And we shared some of those thoughts together. What is it that Jesus sought, and what does He seek? He sought fruit because He should have found it. But what is it that He found? nothing but leaves. What does he find with us? But then last, notice what Jesus did and what he does. What he did and what he does. We find at the end of this parable in verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. He looked to this fig tree to find fruit, to find food, but he found none, and so he condemned it. Mark 11 and verse 20, In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Here was the end result. It would no longer be able to produce fruit. It would no longer produce leaves. In fact, it would be barren. It had died from the roots up. And so it had been condemned by the Lord. When he looked to the Jews, he found no fruit, and he condemned them. I mentioned 1 Kings chapter 9 earlier. To Solomon, the Lord said in 1 Kings 9, beginning of verse 6, But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name, and will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among the people. And at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, Why hath the Lord done this unto the land? Notice before we go to the next slide with the continuation of the verse, notice he said, there will be a hiss and a byword among people. I mentioned that there was a famous individual, I don't recall his name right now, but he was asked by a scholar, give me one word that shows that the Bible is from God. And that man answered, the Jews. And you think about it. He told them they would be a hiss and a byword. Here we are in the 21st century and we're hearing about that. Even among our own culture of those who are despised the Jews. Well, he told them they would be that way. Now notice, why hath the Lord done this unto this land, to this house, is what they'll ask. And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Now this was prophesied of Solomon and of his people. And God had told him, if the people will follow me, if you'll follow me. But the lineage, the kingdom, ended with Solomon. It was divided after that point, you recall. Because Solomon forsook the Lord just as these individuals themselves forsook the Lord. And the nation as a whole, for the most part, did. In Matthew 23, 37 and 38, Jesus ended the thought about them with these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Here follows up what we found in 1 Kings 6, what God promised Solomon. If you fail to follow me, if this nation fails to follow me, I'll make you a hiss and a byword. I will destroy this house. And of course, he did so in AD 70, about 40 years after Jesus had spoken these words. What does the Lord do and what did he do? What he did was he destroyed the fig tree from the roots up. What did he do with Israel? He destroyed them so that they were no longer a nation. Not an individual who claims to be a Jew today can tell you his lineage. All those records were destroyed. They're no longer the chosen people of God. They may be an ally to us politically, but they're not the chosen people of God. The chosen people of God are his spiritual people, the church. Galatians 6 and verse 16. But notice when he looks to the church then, what does he hope to find? Fruit. What does he seek? Fruit. But what does he find? Sometimes only leaves. What did he do to the fig tree? He cursed it. What did he do to the nation of Israel? He destroyed them. What does he do today when he finds nothing but leaves? John 15 and verse 1. Jesus said, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the way. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Here we follow the line of thought from the fig tree. Finding nothing but leaves, no fruit therein, Jesus cursed it. Fall of the nation of Israel. Having leaves abundantly, will Abraham see, were never in bondage any man, and other such statements. He found no fruit within them, and thus they were destroyed. What does he find when he sees us as Christians, members of the body of Christ today? He's the vine, we're the branches. We have to abide in him. If not, cast forth and destroyed. Matthew 7 and verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. The same conclusion for the fig tree that brought forth leaves but no fruit. The same conclusion, the same end for Israel, which boasted itself of leaves but had no fruit. Same conclusion as well for those of us who claim to be his people but fail to bring forth fruit for him. What this incident does is helps us to see what Jesus seeks. He sought fruit with the fig tree. He sought fruit among Israel. He seeks fruit among us today. Then we notice also what Jesus found. He found with the fig tree no fruit at all. He found with the nation of Israel that they were barren as well, not producing fruit as they should have. But what does he find with us? You see, the story still being written about us. What will he find when he examines us for the fruit that should be there? We should also remember and contemplate what he will do. What did he do to the fig tree? He destroyed it from the roots up. What did he ultimately do to the nation of Israel? He brought them to destruction and to an end. What will he do when he looks at us and examines us for the fruit that should be there? Does the Lord see fruit in you? Or, as with this occasion, does he find nothing but leaves? We are not accustomed to trees that bring forth leaves naturally, and then bring forth fruit after that. The other way around usually is the case, but with this fig tree, it was unique in that. The leaves were put on, which would demonstrate the fruit was ready. But when Jesus came, there was no fruit. He used that as an illustration of the nation of Israel in that day and time. But it serves as a shadow for those who are Christians today. The Lord should find fruit among us. We have the leaves, if you will. We've obeyed the gospel of Christ. We assemble to worship him. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We give of our means. We sing. But do we do it in a robust way? Do we do it with our heart? Do we put our heart into our efforts that are before him? After all, we must worship him in spirit as well as in truth. The attitude must be there. The heart must be involved. And if not, then perhaps we're nothing but leaves. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have to believe Jesus to be the Son of God, John 8:24. You have to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess the name of Christ before men, Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. When that's accomplished, our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5. We're added to the body of Christ, Acts 2:47. We are translated into the kingdom of his Son, Colossians 1:13. We become Christians. From that point, we should be producing fruit. From that point, we should be able to put on leaves, if you will. Yes, we're Christians. Yes, we worship God. Yes, we strive to serve him. But underneath, is the fruit there? Or is it just nothing but leaves? Window dressing, if you will. This morning, if you need to obey the gospel of Christ, or if you need to be restored to faithful service and admit to God and to yourself and to those who know you best, I'm nothing but leaves. I'm not producing fruit as God would have me to produce. Better to realize that now, in this day and time, than to understand it in eternity. This morning, if you examine your life and find nothing but leaves, why not make a change? If we can assist you in doing that, won't you come while we stand and while we sing together?